In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We join together in the introit. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I desire to do your will, O my God. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, you made your beloved Son, our Savior, subject to the law and caused him to shed his blood on our behalf. Grant us the true circumcision of the Spirit that our hearts may be made pure from all sin, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated. The Old Testament reading for this first Sunday after Christmas, New Year's Day, is from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. This is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Our epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning in chapter 3, verse 23. "Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We now confess to one another and to the world our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
Seated. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. I would imagine that most all of you probably remember Charlie Brown and Lucy, one of my favorite cartoon characters among many of them. A few years ago, Lucy was pictured walking up to Charlie Brown right after Christmas and saying, you know, Charlie, or it was right before Christmas, rather, and said, Charlie, since it's Christmas, I want to suggest that we lay aside all of our differences and be friends for this season of this year. And Charlie replied, well, that's great, Lucy, but why does it have to be just this time of year? Why can't we be friends all year long? Lucy looks at him with a look only Lucy can get and says, what are you, some kind of fanatic or something? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we actually continued to practice all these things we've been hearing about and singing about during Christmas time? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take that spirit of Christmas into this year of 2023 and do it all year long? And when it comes to thinking about how Christmas should affect us, I can't help but think of a Christmas hymn, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I had forgotten who the author was until I had done that little bit of research. Any of you ever hear of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow? Very famous poet. It was written during a time of great sadness in his own life. He had lost his wife, and this was during the Civil War, and he found that one of his sons was severely injured, perhaps paralyzed for life. And reflecting, he came up with these words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yet peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. If everyone who talks about peace on earth during this season just passed actually started to practice it, and who talk about goodwill to men would suddenly be good to those around him, and then recruited others to do so, think how different our world might be. Someone once compared Christmas to skydiving. Christmas is like the sense of freedom, they said, the excitement you feel when you jump out of the airplane and free fall through the air. Never done it, don't know that I want to. I had a cousin that did, and he talked about it too. He said, you know, you feel the wind on your face. You see the beauty of God's creation for miles around. But the earth is rushing up toward you. And so you pull the ripcord. The parachute jerks you open. And the next thing you know, you hit the ground with a jolt. Well, for a few moments, they say, you feel this wonderful exhilaration. And then, plop, you're on the ground, facing reality once again. Back to the humdrum of everyday life. Is that what has happened for our Christmas? Christmas is wonderful. And then, plop, face to face with reality again. What about those shepherds who saw the angels singing and saw the baby Jesus face to face? Did that Christmas make a difference in their lives? And what about those wise men who came to worship, who brought their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm convinced once they saw the baby Jesus, their lives were never the same again. And certainly life was never the same for Mary and Joseph. I mean, they now had a baby to take care of. Their lives were changed forever. I remember when our first child was born, I saw her tiny little face and realized, what have we done? Realizing that we now had the responsibility of molding, of forming the personality, guiding her to be what God wanted her to be. That was an awesome responsibility. I can imagine that Mary and Joseph must have felt much that same way, in an even greater way than we do. Because the child they held in their arms was God's son. They were responsible for raising God's child. Take you back a little bit. Any of you remember Irma Bombeck? Certainly a good writer. One of her books was, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, Why Am I Always in the Pits? She recalled the legend of a church where the chimes rang miraculously whenever someone gave a generous gift. The chimes had not rung for a long time, even though kings and heads of state had come to give gifts of gold, silver, and precious gems. The chimes had not rung for a very long time. One Christmas Eve, a little peasant boy came walking down the aisle, and he knelt before the altar. As he thought about the Christ child lying in the manger, he took off his tattered coat and laid it on that manger. When he did, the chimes rang out joyously. Irma Bombeck wrote, I've heard the chimes ring too. I remember a Christmas when one of my sons brought me a piece of tattered construction paper on which he tried to draw a picture of praying hands, and underneath the picture he had written, O come, Holy Spit. When I saw that, she said, I heard the chimes ring. And I knew that a very special gift had been given. She went on to say, on another Christmas, I received a gift all clumsily wrapped. When I opened it, I found two baseball cards and a piece of gum. Again, I heard the chimes ring. I heard the chimes ring, she said, the time when the kids got together and cleaned a garage and gave that to me as their Christmas present. Those days are gone, she remembered. Days when we fashioned lace doilies into snowflakes and pipe cleaners into Christmas trees. Those days are long gone. She says, I remember little feet coming down the stairs with a handmade gift all wrapped up in $2 worth of wrapping paper and probably that much more tape. Those little feet now wear pantyhose, she said, and fashion boots. Little hands that used to break the piggy bank to get 59 cents to buy a Christmas present now hold credit cards that are good in any store in town. We'll have a good Christmas this year, she wrote. We'll eat too much. We'll make a mess in the living rooms. We'll put bows on the dog's head. We'll take bites out of cookies. Listen to Christmas songs. We'll have a good Christmas. But Lord, what I wouldn't give to bend down one more time and receive some toothpicks held together by Elmer's glue and hear the chimes ring. Just one more time. You see, our homes are important because it's at home that we not only talk about love and trust, but we learn to live with love and trust. It's at home that we don't just talk about peace and goodwill to men, but that's where we learn to live it. And then our children will go out into the world as ambassadors of peace. But if they don't learn peace, they'll go out into a world angry and upset at themselves and everyone else. You see, home is that place where we fashion those little people into big people who will one day mold and fashion the world of which they're a part. I know that that's a message you've imparted to your children, to your grandchildren. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take that message, not just at Christmas, but to make it a permanent part of our lives and put it into practice all year long? I was watching last night on the Fox Christmas News, and Griff Jenkins, really enjoy him, and he was out in the crowd, I think it was at Daytona Beach, Florida, and just asking people, what are your resolutions? What are your resolutions? And many of them had some good, some bad. But wouldn't this make a wonderful resolution for each one of us to put that spirit and practice of Christmas into our lives? Wouldn't it be something if we could take this message of Christmas wherever we go? Now, I know that's not a fashionable thing to do in our society today. Somehow we say we can't mix church and state. We somehow have to put your religion in a little box and kind of keep it there, except maybe on Sunday morning you take it out and put it on display. You're not supposed to talk about God at work. You're not supposed to pray in school. But what a difference it would make if we could take Christ, like Paul did, out into the marketplace, into the workplace, to school, wherever we go. Not just leave him in the manger. What a difference we could make. Finally, if we take Christ into our homes and our jobs and our schools, and to all of our activities, then he becomes that solid foundation on which we can build our lives. Unfortunately, there are some people out there that are preaching what I consider false doctrine. It says when you become a Christian, God's going to take care of everything for you. God will make you healthy and wealthy from that day on. And there are people out there who are actually making that the foundation of their faith. I've run across it over the years. And when it doesn't happen to them, they lose their faith. But God never made that kind of a promise to us, did he? He certainly didn't promise that to Mary and Joseph. Sometime after Christmas came the wise men. That was a very exciting time for them. But soon came a time of hardship for Mary and Joseph. They had to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt. In the second chapter of Matthew, we hear these words, "When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, he took his child and his mother and during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.' And when Herod realized he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in the vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi." And so we hear that part of that Christmas story that continues. Eventually, they made their way back to Nazareth. Now, do you think their time in Nazareth was any bed of roses? I'm sure it wasn't. Joseph had to work. He had to pay bills. He bought food. He went through all the monotonies that we go through in our daily living. He was living in a conquered land under the iron fist of Rome. And there were times that must have been worrisome, left him anxious, maybe even afraid. And then, in fact, at some point we find that Joseph is no longer there. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know how or when he died. But there came that time when Mary found herself without a husband, without a father at home for her children. Life wasn't easy. It was hard. I wonder if Mary ever felt that God had forgotten her? How about us? We have our problems, don't we? We've experienced hardships, financial difficulties. We've shed tears. Touched by illness and death. Life has not been easy for us either. But Jesus in our lives is the one thing that makes a difference, that gives us a solid foundation, a strength to endure, even to overcome. And so the real work of Christmas is not over. It's just now starting. There was a black theologian who wrote, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back in their flocks, the real work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to lift the brokenhearted, to feed the hungry, visit the prisoner, rebuild a nation, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart, that's the real work of Christmas. And I know we'll all be taking down the trees soon. Maybe you already have. Putting the decorations back in storage for another year. All the presents have been unwrapped. All the suspense is over. But I pray that the music and the sentiment will linger. I pray that the songs of peace and goodwill will be in our hearts forever. Maybe I'm going to try to start singing Christmas songs all through the year. Remember some of those things. I pray that our homes would be filled with the sounds and the excitement of Christmas each and every day. May we take its message with us so all the world can be touched by it, just as we have been touched by it. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. We join our hearts in prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens are the work of your fingers, yet you willed to save us in the most humble and sacrificial of ways. Already 8 days after being born of the Virgin Mary, your Son was at work for our salvation by fulfilling your law and shedding his blood. Receive our heartfelt thanks for the righteousness and forgiveness of sins we have obtained through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed God, you sent your Son into our flesh, and as an infant he first shed the blood that would cleanse us from our sin. Accept our thanks for the loving kindness shown to us sinners. Grant us a steadfast faith that we would not forget all your benefits or lose sight of your promises. Lord, in your mercy, O God, you declare that in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in him. Preserve us from all ungodly prejudice, yet instill in us a deep appreciation of our distinctive callings. Grant that we would not resent what you have called us to be and to do, but rejoice to serve as you have ordained. Lord, in your mercy, blessed Lord, you have shown your power by establishing governments and leaders to serve your people in your name. Grant to our president, governor, Congress, legislators, judges and magistrates, the wisdom and courage to act with integrity on behalf of all people, especially those least able to defend themselves. Lord, in your mercy, Father in heaven, bless and keep us by your grace. Remember those in need who cry out to you, especially Annie Mae, Glenn, Cynthia, Pastor Scott and Judy, Katie and Violet, Sandra, Robert, Albert, Jeff, Cheryl, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, Robert and Donna, and all those we name in our heart, according to your will and wisdom, lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. Lord, in your mercy, Holy God, you invite your children to the table of your Son. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we would discern Christ's body and blood in this sacrament and come with joyful and repentant hearts to receive the foretaste of the eternal feast. Strengthen us by this blessed communion, that we would love you above all and love one another in your name. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, in your steadfast love you have put off the day of Jesus' return until the perfect time when the number of your elect is complete. Keep your people watchful, vigilant, and awake with your gift of faith until that day, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.